It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, hello, welcome. It is News to Me, and it is September 14th, 2020. It's Monday. That means that I am going to be on time and slowly drift to being out of schedule again, I'm sure. But today, we're right on time. If you want to hang out and talk in the chat room, Anon Radio uses COM, which you can get to by just SSHing over to SDF. Type COM, C-O-M, hit enter, press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio and hit enter. You'll be in the Anon Radio room. Then you can say hi to Ratsu, X1, Exiled, and me, of course. And SMJ's in here sometimes, as well as Jazzmaz. So, hello, hello, welcome. Now, we like to start out the news with a little bit shorter, but just as equally important,
world news.
That's right, it is world news time. So, first up, we've got something from France 24, and they're the observers. I'm not sure what that means, but Iran publishers remove images of girls from a math textbooks, and parents have added them back. Oh, let's fix that. Boom. Is this better? Sometimes I forget and I put auto ducking on. I click auto ducking and it screws up the mic. So sorry about that. Perfect. All right. So the new school year in Iran is set to start on September 22nd, in spite of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. But as parents prepare their third graders to return to school, they discovered something curious about the official math textbook for the grade. While the cover for the previous edition of the textbook featured both girls and boys playing together under a tree, the girls were missing from the 2020 cover. Many were angry at the modification and quickly took to social media to suggest their own covers. When the news about the newly designed all-male cover hit social media on September 9th, it sparked widespread outrage. Between 57 and 60% of all students in Iran are girls or women, and the first and only woman to win the Fields Medal, which is like the Nobel Prize for Math, was an Iranian mathematician named Maryam Mirzakhani. An Iranian artist who has initially designed the cover for the textbook posted a message on Instagram explaining that she was shocked by this modification, which was done without her permission. Many people see this move by the Ministry of Education as the government's latest attack on women. So, it's pretty wild. There are a lot of photos if you go to France 24 and check it out. It is just, anyway, it's just pretty neat. A lot of redesigns to include, put women back in the cover, in the book. We go over to Japan, still using France 24 as a source. Japan's Yoshihide Suga wins leadership race to succeed the outgoing Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. And we know, we talked about that whenever he said that he was going to be leaving. He has like ulcerative colitis, and so he's been suffering with that for a long, long time. So he's finally going to retire. So Japan's ruling party on Monday elected Chief Cabinet Secretary Yoshihide Suga as its new leader, making him all but certain to replace Shinzo Abe as the next prime minister. Suga easily won the ballot, taking 377 of a total of 534 votes from the Liberal Democratic Party lawmakers and regional representatives. So that's the news. That's kind of the headline. The rest of it's just fluff, and I kind of skimmed over it and blew it off. Now, if you remember, there's a big refugee island, a refugee camp on the island of Lesbos that burned, that caught fire and basically burned down, and everyone's just sleeping on the ground. And the citizens were like blocking the roads to prevent supplies to going to the refugees, and then also to prevent like the refugees leaving the area. So they're just sleeping on the ground. Well, we've got some more news there. Greece is facing mounting demands from refugees displaced by this Moria refugee campfire to either let them leave Lesbos or deport them. The Greek authorities are struggling to persuade former residents of the camp to move to a new temporary site, and many people continue to sleep on the streets of the island. The latest protests in Lesbos, where police have fired tear gas at refugees, came as Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis said he hoped plans to build a new reception center to replace Moria would be an opportunity to reset policy on handling migrant arrivals. The fire at the overcrowded camp engulfed in a blaze last week has left more than 12,000 people from 70 different countries, although many from Afghanistan, without shelter or proper sanitation. Blazes broke out last week in several locations across the camp after 35 residents tested positive for COVID-19, prompting a lockdown by Greek authorities that in turn triggered protests by residents during which fires were lit. The disaster has served to underline chronic problems surrounding the conditions for residents and the wider EU policy surrounding those in the camp, which was originally built to house 3,000 people, many of whom are now demanding to be resettled in Europe. So, this is a pretty wild story. It's an interesting interesting setup there. Ah, hello, hello! We've got Tobe coming in and out, but that reminds me, Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe is on every day, Monday through Monday, at 1930 UTC. So, stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up shortly. All right, 24 minutes or so. Let's keep on. We're almost done with the world news. This is some climate change news. It's a bit surprising. Well, maybe a little scary. A big chunk of ice has broken away from the Arctic's largest remaining ice shelf, 79N, or Nyrgalafjörður, in northeast Greenland. I'm not sure how to properly say it. The ejected section covers about 110 square kilometers. Satellite imagery shows it to have shattered into many small pieces. The loss is further evidence, say scientists, of the rapid climate changes taking place in Greenland. The atmosphere in the region has warmed by about 3°C since 1980, said Dr. Jenny Turton, and in 2019 and 2020, it saw a record summer temperature. The polar researcher at Friedrich Alexander University in Germany told BBC News. So, I'm going to just say N79, or 79N. 79N is roughly 80 kilometers long by 20 kilometers wide and is the floating front end of the northeast Greenland ice stream, where it flows off the land into the ocean to become buoyant. At its leading edge, the 79N glacier splits in two, with a minor offshoot turning directly north. It's this offshoot, or tributary, called Spalti Glacier, that is now disintegrated. So this is kind of scary. The photos are really pretty shocking. And you can find them at bbc.com. So check it out if you're looking for that. And whoops, sorry about that. I just spammed bbbbbbbb into com. My bad. All right. Boom. All right. Well, let's go ahead here. And we've got just a little bit more. There's some news that's kind of in between.
Is it time for tech news?
Yeah, it is. You're right, robot. It is time. This is just a quick story. TikTok. So we'll talk about TikTok here. So U.S. tech firm Oracle has confirmed that TikTok's owner has formally proposed it become a trusted technology partner to the video sharing app. Full details of the tie-up have yet to be disclosed, but the aim is to avoid President Trump's threat to shut down the Chinese-owned service in the U.S. Mr. Trump has cited national security concerns, suggesting users' data could be accessed by Beijing under current arrangements. Current owner ByteDance denies this. It says it has taken extraordinary measures to protect the privacy and security of user data, which is stored in the U.S. in Singapore. Oracle is a database specialist without experience of running a social media app targeted at the general public. Early in the day, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said that the Trump administration had been contacted about the firm to discuss plans to make TikTok a U.S.-headquartered company. He said the White House had intended to review the idea this week. So this is kind of interesting. Yeah, that's what I just said. Sorry, Calm was like, isn't Oracle buying TikTok? And it was like, yeah, I just said Oracle's buying TikTok. Oracle shares were trading about 7% higher in mid-morning trading in New York. While I can see the upside for Oracle from a cloud perspective, it's hard not to think about how much this deal rests on politics rather than tech. And one of the things, let's see if they mention it here. They don't. Well, let's see if they've got it in here. Yeah. So it has become clear that China might attempt to block the sale of the technology behind the app's powerful algorithm. Privately, there are concerns, too, that Microsoft was about to create a rod for its own back to becoming involved with a mass market youth-focused social network. It already owns LinkedIn, but that caters for a very different audience. So this is pretty exciting stuff as far as like technology goes. We'll see how that works. And yeah, like Exile said, ARM has been sold. ARM is a UK-based chip designer, and it was sold to NVIDIA. So the deal values ARM at $40 billion, 4 years after it was bought by Japanese conglomerate SoftBank for $32 billion. ARM's technology is at the heart of most smartphones, among other devices. NVIDIA has promised to keep the business based in the UK, to hire more staff, and to retain ARM's brand. It added that the deal would create the premier computing company for the age of artificial intelligence. ARM will remain headquartered in Cambridge, said NVIDIA's chief executive, Jensen Huang. So, this is exciting. It's interesting. Lots of moving and shaking. We'll see how it goes. But that, my friends, was the world in tech news. And now it's time.
I want to hear the music.
Yeah, it's time. You heard it. We're going to play some music. We got some Dylan for you today. And welcome back, Tobe. I'm glad you were able to reconnect. Welcome. Here's some music. Well, music. This is Blowing in the Wind.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Isn't how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Yes, yes, yes. That was Bob Dylan, Blowing in the Wind. And I'm going to have to let you know that I recently downloaded the Music Brains app Picard, which is named, sounds just is the same name as the famous captain from Star Trek, which I was excited about. And I let it run across, I have a large archive of all my recorded records. And after I ran that app, sure enough, it was able to locate most of my track names. And suddenly, I have tons and tons more music that I can access because I could not find half my Dylan records. So anyway, pretty rad. All right, so let's talk. We got lots of news. Also, if you haven't ever had it before, my tongue's tired. This Dongfeng Myron, this Oriental Beauty Oolong Tea, is so good. I got it off of recommendation a couple months back, and it's good. I'm still working through, I don't know, you don't ever buy a pound of tea. That's all I'm going to say. You're going to be drinking the same tea for a long time. All right, let's go and talk about the U.S., because that's what I've got a bunch of stories about. We've got about 15 minutes to go through them. So the first one is something that is kind of like, I didn't realize this wasn't already secured, but not yet. That'll be in here, though. Same-sex partners win rights to Social Security survivor benefits. Yep, that's right. A federal court ruled Friday that the Social Security Administration's blanket denial of Social Security survivors' benefits to same-sex spouses who were prevented from marrying is unconstitutional. The ruling came in the case of Helen Thornton, a resident of Washington State who sought to claim survivors' benefits based on her 27-year relationship with Marge Brown, who died in 2006, 6 years before the same-sex couples in the state had a right to marry. Brown had a more extensive work record than Thornton, who supplements her own modest Social Security income by taking care of animals, notes a press release from Lambda Legal, which represented Thornton, along with attorneys from the firm of Nossman LLP. Thornton applied for the benefits in 2015, shortly before she would have been eligible to receive them at age 60, but the SSA turned her down because she and Brown had not been legally married, even though state law prevented them from marrying. She filed suit in 2018 in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Washington. On Friday, a judge in the court, James L. Robert, ruled that denial of the benefits violated the Constitution. He also certified the case as a national class action, meaning others who have sought the benefits and been denied simply because they were unable to marry their partners will have an avenue to claim them. The court believes that the appropriate form of relief to provide to the class is an order that requires the administration to re-adjudicate class members' claims for survivor benefits and refrain from denying class members' claims solely on the basis that class members were not married to their same-sex partner. In his ruling, he was adopting the recommendation made by magistrate judge in January. So, this is kind of interesting news. So, we'll see what happens here. Welcome, Adam D., and welcome to Calm. So let's go on and jump on through some news here. So the world is on fire. Climate change is causing all sorts of stuff. Democracy Now! Has a story. If you want to listen to it, it's about half an hour, 33 minutes long. But the title headline is Pandemic, Wildfires, and Heat Wave. Undocumented workers face triple threat as West Coast burns. As devastating fires burn across the West Coast, some of the most vulnerable people are farm workers, many of whom are undocumented. Despite the risk of the pandemic and climate-fueled fires, many feel they have to keep working, even if that means working inside evacuation zones. The state of California has repeatedly allowed growers to continue harvesting despite evacuation orders, putting workers at great risk. Estella Cisneros, legal director of the Agricultural Work Program for California Rural Legal Assistance, says farm workers who speak out against unsafe working conditions risk losing their jobs. Farm workers have continued to work during this whole time, despite fears of contracting COVID, despite fears of getting heat stress, and now despite fears of the dangers that wildfire smoke brings. So, this is a wild time. These guys are outside working all day, and it's pretty scary times there. Speaking of weather, we'll jump over here and let's talk some more about wildfires. The BBC has this in their coverage, U.S. West Coast fires, row over climate change's role as Trump visits. So Democratic politicians on the U.S. West Coast have accused President Trump of being in denial about climate change's role in the huge wildfires. Blazes in California, Oregon, and Washington state have burned almost 2 million hectares or 5 million acres of land and killed at least 35 people since early August. Washington's governor called climate change a blowtorch over our states. Climate change skeptic Mr. Trump blames the crisis on poor forest management. The president is due to be briefed on Monday by emergency crews that have been battling the fires during a visit to McClellan Park outside Sacramento. So this will be interesting. And of course, we can't just have fires going on. Five hurricanes are churning in the Atlantic Ocean, or five cyclones churn in the Atlantic Ocean for only the second time in history. This is coming from The Guardian. And for only the second time in recorded history, five tropical cyclones are churning in the Atlantic at the same time. The entire island of Bermuda, where homes are built to withstand major hurricanes, was inside the eye of Hurricane Paulette on Monday morning. The strong Category 1 storm arrived hours after the wealthy British territory shuttered schools, government agencies, and air and seaports. Officials warned of heavy flooding given that the hit coincided with an unusually high tide. Forecasters said that the island would experience hurricane-force winds for roughly 7 hours. Power was out across much of the island. Fewer than 10 hurricanes have made direct landfall on the island since the U.S. National Hurricane Center began tracking such disasters in the 1850s. The NHC said Paulette would become a major hurricane by Monday after moving away from Bermuda and into open water. Elsewhere, Hurricane Sally is churning towards the U.S. Gulf Coast. Of the other storms, Renee was forecast to weaken further, having ceased to be a tropical storm. But Teddy became a tropical storm and was expected to be a hurricane later in the week. At the same time, Tropical Depression 21 formed east of Cape Verde Islands with the potential to become a tropical storm. All U.S. Gulf states were urging residents to prepare for the arrival of Sally. It's likely that the storm will be impacting Alabama's Gulf Coast, said the state governor. A mandatory evacuation order was issued in Grand Isle, Louisiana, and New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell issued a mandatory evacuation order for residents outside the levee protection system. Jeffrey Gagnard, a resident of Calumet, Louisiana, spent Sunday in Mississippi helping his parents prepare their home for Sally and making sure they evacuated. So there are tons and tons of storms, well, five of them, which is going to be really rough, especially since Louisiana is still barely figuring it out, or barely starting to recover. I don't want to say figure it out. And what else? Do we have more when we have more weather? Well, don't worry. It's not just weather and fires. We also have food insecurity in the United States. This comes from Truth Out. And basically, the headline is rural and native communities are hard hit by COVID-era food insecurity. So, Noni Wolf, a retired public health nutritionist and chair of Food Accessibility and Sustainability Team Blackfeet, is excited. By October, she says the program, I can't pronounce it, it's Oyopu on Wheels, a refrigerated truck whose name means we are eating, will deliver groceries directly to hungry and food insecure residents of the eight communities that comprise Montana. No, that is comprised of Montana's, food insecure residents of the communities that, they use comprised wrong and it's bugging me. Anyway, there's eight communities they're delivering food to. The need is enormous, but it isn't new. Even before the COVID-19 pandemic, she says median annual household income on the reservation, home to approximately 11,000 people, was $30,000, with more than a third of the residents living in poverty. More than two-thirds had either gone hungry or experienced food insecurity, which is defined as having unreliable access to nutritious food in 2017. So yeah, then COVID hit, and the food pantry, established in 2019 to meet the nutritional needs, went into overdrive. In the month of July alone, the pantry distributed 52,770 pounds of food, more than three times the amount distributed in February. Delivered hot meals to more than 100 elders unable to travel to Browning, where the pantry is located. So, food banks are stretched thin all across the country, and this article kind of goes into other people, other things that are going on there. Okay, and what else do we got? Do we have any other weather-related news? Nope. Don't worry, we still have 7 minutes before the DGC starts up. What did I miss in comm? Comm's a fun time, but sometimes I look away. Oh yeah, there are Mad Max orange skies out there. And good luck. Hope your family is safe in Alabama and evacuates as necessary, Adam. All right, so there's no girlfriend Vietnam here, but don't worry, I've got lots of news. So here we go. First up, let's start with the most ridiculous headline. Trump reveals he's not at all concerned about coronavirus at rally because I'm on a stage and it's very far away. So Donald Trump provided a video interview with Las Vegas Review-Journal before a Sunday night political rally, his campaign held in Henderson, Nevada. The event has raised reasonable public health concerns as very few attendees appear to be following the social distancing and mask wearing guidelines, making the crowded indoor event even more dangerous amid the coronavirus pandemic. At one point, reporter Deborah Sanders confronted President Trump about the risk of contracting the deadly contagion, asking, "Are you concerned about COVID, though, in an enclosed room?" President revealed that he was not concerned, and when pressed, provided a potentially revealing answer. Because you know why? I'm on a stage, and it's very far away, Trump said, and so I'm not at all concerned. So, believe it or not, the coronavirus does not travel in air conditioning and cooling systems, apparently. No, not really. It totally does. All right. Well, then, let's keep on talking about this rally. The Independent has a headline, "People Will Die. Trump Indoor Rally in Nevada Called Negligent Homicide by a Doctor." So a doctor who called Donald Trump's first rally this summer criminal endangerment because of the risk of crowd would spread coronavirus to each other has described the president's latest indoor gathering as negligent homicide. Interviewed on CNN, George Washington University's Jonathan Reiner was asked why he thought of the rally, Mr. Trump's first full-fledged indoor event in months, given the national coronavirus death toll is approaching 200,000 and the virus is still spreading. Negligent homicide, he said. What else could you call an act that, because of its negligence, results in the death of others? If you have a mass gathering now in the United States, in a place like Nevada, or just about any other place with hundreds of thousands of people, he said, people will get infected and some of those people will die. So, pretty wild stuff. And we have one other corroborating kind of other story here with this. Hold on, let me find it. I have so many stories, and it's like so many things here. Not this one. No. Here we go. This is from independent.co.uk. Networks boycott Trump event over his repeat breach of coronavirus guidelines. President held, just the short version, several broadcasters won't send crews inside Donald Trump's indoor campaign events in Nevada over concerns that staff could be exposed. CNN's Brian Stetler, whose network will not be covering the president's indoor rally on Sunday with its own camera crew, reports that news outlets have been forced to make tough decisions about how to keep their staffers safe, while the president flouts public safety guidelines by increasing the risk of transmission among large groups at his indoor events. So, pretty wild. We're running low on time, so I'll just run through some more headlines, but we won't go into as much detail. So, first up, Rewire.news has the headline, "You can't try to kill students and expect them to be quiet about it." Students' rights to free speech don't stop at the schoolhouse doors, just ask the Supreme Court. And this goes into the case of Hannah Waters. She's the girl that took the photo of a crowded hallway at the North Paulding High School that showed that no one was wearing masks or social distancing. And so the Supreme Court sided with her. So way to go there. The Nation has a story. We've entered the era of branding for Black Lives. And this goes on to talk about basically that the NFL and other organizations are starting to do performative acts to try and show that they support the Black Lives Matter movement, but they're not actually doing anything besides speaking it or doing something like that. And it uses the NFL as an example. The World Socialist website brings us update that the University of Michigan graduate students have extended their strike. And Roger Stone, is one of Trump's advisory friends, went on Alex Jones, and the World Socialist website and who else was it? Media Matters for America, mediamatters.org, both have stories. Basically, Roger Stone went on to say that Trump should seize total power if he loses the election, and he should declare martial law and start physically blocking people who are trying to vote. So, pretty wild. All right, it's just about a minute to go, and so I'm just going to have to skip the rest of these. Tope's going to wing it. I'm going to play my outro. I'll be back tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then. Seven, six.